to the Gemara soon. The Gemara is
why heavier than the home?
Taf Tzadik Dalet. Taf Tzadik Dalet. I'll just make a slight introduction. The topic we're going to discuss tonight is the topic of Geneva's Das. Geneva's Das is a very interesting topic. There are times that you do something where you steal the Das of another person. Right? And there are many, many examples. Now, I give one of the examples I give is I was in a shul, and I was in the front of the shul. I was learning, and there was a person, I needed to get a rashba from the back of the shul. So I walked to the back of the shul, and as I got to the back of the shul, there was another person just walked in, who I haven't seen in a couple of years. And the person says, you know, he says, it's such a good feeling to me that you took your time to walk to the back of the shul just to greet me. You know, he says, it meant so much to me that you... And now suddenly I had a dilemma. What do I do? Do I tell him that you should know? Nah. I was looking for a rashba. I had no interest in seeing you. I mean, now that I see him, I'm happy to see him. But it's true Geneva's Das, no?
I don't think so.
Yeah, why not?
You know what? I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this case, what are you going to get? You're going to make you feel bad. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? You're not going to get anything. Uh-huh. It's not something that... You see, you go to a store, mm-hmm. and you waste the guy's time, and you tell him you mm-hmm. want to buy, and you don't want to buy. Mm-hmm. It was nice.
We'll see soon what the Gemara right? says about it.
But over here, mm-hmm. you know, diplomacy. You know?
You want to be diplomatic.
No, I really didn't mean you. So what are you going
to
get?
No, the fact that he's going to walk away thinking hello. Mad.
That's
exactly.
No, that's going to be like that.
You're right. But there's all kinds of... This is Nevad Das, then there's no chaser.
He'll have a certain amount of Akaras HaToy for you that you're not entitled to.
Okay, so maybe in a different case you can minimize it. But right now, it's like telling somebody, no, it's not question. All right.
We'll get to it. The Gemara is going to talk about this case
I heard
specifically.
The story of one rabbi was in a Avaya, and I forgot one of them, and he was crying, and he cried for something else, but he had to say that it wasn't crying for this mace. Really.
He didn't want them to feel that the... No, I have not.
Yeah,
heard
I heard
story,
it.
No.
I heard this from a big guy, learned from Ginsburg, he told us this story. Yeah.
He didn't want that as he cried for one issue, they should think he meant it fully for the other issue. That's a very, very good, point. But you know, there's a very famous story that Rav Pam used to say over. Rav Pam Zecharon Lebracha would say the story many times. But if you think about the story, a very interesting story. He said that his mother was a person that was emes. She was always the truth. So he remembers that when he was a young child, his father was a rabbi in Russia. And his father traveled to America because he wanted to bring the whole family over to America at one point. So he was in America. While he was there, a certain woman walked into his mother and told her the following story. He says, listen, your husband is now in America. And I have an uncle that lives in America. And my uncle's a wealthy man, like they say, literally a rich uncle. Do me a favor, send a message to your husband. My uncle didn't send me any money for quite a while. And send a message to your husband that when he sees my uncle, to let him know that I'm waiting for some money. This is what this woman said to Rav Pam's mother. So Rav Pam's mother inside started to laugh. I mean, America, you know, it's like when you see my friend in America, does this woman even realize the size of America? So, but she didn't want to embarrass this woman, so she just sort of nodded her head. A couple of days later, this woman comes running into her house, full of simcha, all happy, smiles. I just want to thank you so much. The check from my uncle just came. Right? This is what happens. So she assumed that she gave over the message. So she didn't know what to do, right? Should she smile along and say, yeah, sure, absolutely? Or should she say, listen, I never gave the message because there was no way I can get this message over? And Rav Pam said years later, his mother used to complain to him and say, can you imagine the Geneva's Das that I did, that I went and I stole from this other person that she had, Hakaras HaToy for me, that I did this action, and truthfully it wasn't true. So, again, this is just a story. It's a gefil, like they say. It's a feeling. Let's see what the halacha actually is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He says sometimes the emes, the sheker is the emes.
Right.
He says kala na v'chasuda. You really mean it?
Okay. Kala k'mo shuhu. Right. Okay. So, but it says that for shalom bayis, for darkas shalom.
No, not shalom bayis. It says you go to say you know you ketzav ra'ani tla kala k'al na v'chasuda emes shita.
Right. Right.
Are you saying it?
Yes.
So.
You're saying, what you're trying to argue is that sometimes when your response will be so insulting, so it's not worthwhile. That's what you're
saying.
And
what about if you, in your mind you would think, if I knew you were in the back really, I would really come to salvation.
Good. Well, let's get to that.
Fix it.
So all of that is going to be in the Gemara on this, in this topic. But I want to, let's talk about something else, which is a practical question in halacha. A person wants to sell an item. So what does he do? He makes a sale. So sometimes you go into a store, you see everything is 50% off. It's very impressive. Everything in the store is 50% off. But there's one trick. In order to make everything 50% off, you first raise everything by 100%. Right? So after you take 50% off, you end up at the same price. No? Can you do that or not? Would that be Gnevus Das? So those are the questions we have to discuss. Now, firstly, I want to just give you an introduction that the Orchas Tzadikim writes that a person that's careful with emes should know he's going to be guaranteed to have a long life. Now, the Orchas Tzadikim didn't take this from his own. This is the Gemara Masechtas site that tells us clearly of the story. There was a city called Luz, and in this city, nobody died. Right? Why did nobody die? Because nobody ever said a lie in the city. Then there was finally one, and what happened was when they would get old and they didn't want to live anymore, they would go to the outskirts of the city, and outside the city they would die. The Gemara brings a story that one time there was a certain husband, they came and they asked, "Where's your wife?" And because of Tznius, right? He didn't want to say that she was washing herself. He didn't think it was an appropriate thing to say. So he lied and said that she wasn't home. And the Gemara says from then on, the people in Luz started to die. Now, but when we talk about stealing and we talk about lying, there's a fascinating Tosefta which you should see in Bava Kamma. I didn't bring it up, but it's the Tosefta in Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel. The Tosefta says, Shiva Gnevus Heim, there are seven ways to steal. And the Lashon of the Tosefta is, Harishon Shebekulam, the worst of the seven ways of stealing is Gnevus Das. Which is a fascinating Tosefta. Tosefta says that it's worse to do Gnevus Das than to steal in any other way. So the Rabbeinu Yoina, a Rishon, discusses this, and he says something very interesting. He says that when you steal, he says as follows, he says, the chait of Gnevus Hadas was chome etzel chachme Yisroel, and he says the reason is because when you steal in Das, you're goinev es nafshoi. Usually when you steal from a person, it's a monetary way of stealing. You're stealing his money. But when you're stealing from a person's Das, right? What happens is when you're stealing from his Das, that's on a higher level. It's in the level of the Nefesh. It's interesting, you should see this, the Chazon Ish in the Emunah Betochen, where the Chazon Ish discusses that Yaakov had a terrible taina on his children. He was angry at his children, Shimon and Levi, that they went and they killed out all of Shechem. So the Chazon Ish says, what was the great taina of Yaakov on those children? You know what his taina was? He had one taina. The taina was, okay, you killed them, you might have had a right to do that. But you did it through a way of Gnevus Das. That's what the Chazon Ish writes. And Gnevus Das was something that the Chachamim took very seriously, because Gnevus Das meant that you're taking away from a person's Das. And Das is the highest form of how you can steal from another person. Before we get into the sugya, I just want to make one more point, which our Hashulchan mentions again. Very often you do Gnevus Das. And after you do Gnevus Das, you want to rectify it and do tshuva. Now it's like one of those issues where you can't really go and ask another person for forgiveness, because you'll be insulting him as you're asking him for forgiveness. So, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, it's like stealing less than a Shavu Pruta. We have this by Einos Dvorim, we discussed this already. So, you got to be very, very careful when it comes to these type of topics of how you approach these type of issues. Now, let's go into the actual topic. Let's take out a Gemara Chulin, and we'll learn a few Gemaras that will give us a good feeling of when you're allowed to do it and when you're not allowed to do it. Now, the Mishnah, Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis, mentions to us that Sheleach Odom Yerech Lo'evet Kechorim. A person's allowed to go and send a gift, the thigh of an animal, to a non-Jew, to a goy, Shegit Hanosha B'Soicha, even though the Git Hanosha is inside, Mevnei Shemekoyme Nikr, because you can see that the Git Hanosha is there, so you can send him the thigh, alright, and he'll go afterwards and do whatever he wants with it, but Mekoyme is Nikr. The Gemara here has two explanations why you're allowed to send this gift to a goy and why you should not be allowed to send the gift to a goy. The Gemara says the reason why it's no problem is because one issue was that maybe he's going to go and pass it on to a Jew. So he says, no problem, it's Mekayim Nikar. Take a look, you see the Git Hanosha, it's there. So there's no issue, nothing's going to happen whatsoever.
How could he start to a Jew?
So the Gemara discusses that. There were certain places where they were not concerned. They had a siman on it, possibly. The only meat came from Jews. Whatever the discussion, they had in those areas when there was a treifa, they would have to make an announcement. They would say, today a treifa was sold, and the treifa is by the goy, and nobody should buy it from the goy. All of those discussions are here in the Gemara of Bosesh and Saman Ohayim. But let's not go into that topic, because that topic is not nogeya to our topic. So we're going to stick to Gneivas Das. Then the Gemara says another point. The only time you're allowed to go and take the piece of meat and sell it to the goy, that's in which situation? When the piece of meat is whole. But how about if you cut up the piece of meat? And now that you cut a piece of meat, the goy does not realize that the gitanosh is there, you're not allowed to sell it. Now what's the reason why not? Because the goy has for you hakoras hatoif. And the goy says, wow, look what a fine person this Jew is. Look what he did. He went and he was menaker the gid hanosha for me, and even though the goy doesn't need it, but the goy knows the labor, the amount of effort that he put into it, and he has hakoras hatoif for you, which should not be there. In other words, the reason why you can't do it, because it's genevas das, right?
To a goy,
right? Now, it's very important to note one thing.
Did you cut it or you didn't cut it?
You cut it. So since you cut it, the guy doesn't know that it's really in there. No, you left the git hanosha in there. Slice it into a few pieces. Once you slice it into chopped meat, you can't tell the difference if the git hanosha is there or not. He thinks probably a Jew wouldn't give me a piece of meat that he didn't first clean out the git hanosha. So it's not just a... What's that?
How can you think about it? What would he think about git hanosha?
You see that it's the labor that you put into it. That was when he's makir toif to you, for giving him a piece of meat. What does it mean, the piece of meat you gave him? It doesn't mean just to do a shchita and to cut an animal and give it to him, which takes an hour. You gave him a piece of meat that took you 2 hours to prepare. So he says to himself, look what this Jew did for me. This Jew went and put 2 hours of work into doing for me a chesed. You understand? So the bottom line is that he has more hakoras atoyf for you than you're entitled to. That is Gneivas Das. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. Now just to mention the point that you mentioned, which is an extremely important point. Any time that we discuss clear Geneva, makes no difference a Yid or a Goy. The only discussions we had that was a difference was when it came to Hafkos Halvosai. The truth is, I would really like to give a specific share, because this is an extremely important topic of Genevas Akim, Tos Akim, Hafkos Halvosai, all the exceptions of when we had that Oinoz Devorim, we learned clearly that already, when there's no Dror de Memoina, when it's not a monetary issue, it's just to be Mitzar B'Dvorim, right? That was only two of the Yidden we learned. But when it came to Oinoz Akim, we said it was okay. But Gneivas Das is Osan. Where do you see that from? You see that in this Gemara. The truth is, there are exceptions to the rule, but those exceptions I'm not going to get to in this shiur. Be'ezrat Hashem, next week we'll get to the exceptions of when you clearly could do Gneivas Das and where a goy falls into Gneivas Das. But look what the Gemara tells us. It says as follows. It says, V'ibay Seimu, what is the reason why if it's cut up you're not allowed to do it? Mishim de kogonavle le daite. You're stealing his mind, Gneivas Das. The Omer Shmuel, because Shmuel tells us, Osa lignoy das habriyos, you're not allowed to steal the das of the briyos, va'afila daitoy shel oivet kechovim. Even from a goy, you can't do Gneivas Das. That's what the Gemara says clearly. All right. Now the Gemara says the following story.
Is there any smach in the Torah for that?
Gneiva. The Gemara learns out you can't steal from a goy. That we learn out from a pasuk. And once it goes into the category of stealing, that's it. It's finished. I discussed this when we discussed the shear of intellectual property. So if you remember, we discussed of how about, you know, when we spoke about downloading computer software that doesn't belong to you. So I explained how Rav Moshe viewed intellectual property. So Rav Moshe writes, once you say it's Geneva, Geneva is Geneva. To outright go and steal from another person makes no difference, Jew, non-Jew. That's out. It's off the table. I mean, you're not allowed to do that. It's finished. Okay? Now, the Gemara says another story. The Gemara says a story that Shmuel have a ka'ova b'mavra, right? I'm going to follow with the next story here in Chul Tzad Dalet. Shmuel was traveling on a ferry. And what happened? Omalei l'shame, he said to his servant, what did he say? Paisei l'mebura, go to the ferry driver and give him a tip, right? Be mafias and give him a tip for giving us this nice ride. Paisa, he went and he gave the servant, gave a tip to the ferry driver, the ikbit, Shmuel got very angry. He got upset. So the Gemara says, my tama ikbit, why did he get upset? Om Abaya says, tana goylus trefa havoi, What happened? He gave a chicken as a tip, an interesting tip to give. He gave him a chicken. Now the guy thought that he was getting a kosher chicken. What did he in reality give to him? A non-kosher chicken, because he figured, what can I do with this chicken? There's nothing I can do. So Shmuel got upset. Shmuel says, listen, the hakaras hatov that the guy has to you now is for a kosher chicken. That he figures you went and you shechted it and it was kosher and you salted it and you put in all the proper effort. What are you giving him? A non-kosher chicken. Usser. You're not allowed to do something of that sort. Again, Geneva's das is usser. Alright, so you have quite a few riots that Geneva's das is usser. Now the Gemara says the following story.
It's not shy after kashrus, I understand.
What's that?
It's not shy after being kashrus. It's not shy after.
But he has a certain amount of akar. When you give him a piece of meat, what is a piece of meat worth? How much does a piece of meat cost?
Right.
Per pound.
But does he care?
Sure he cares, because he wants to know what you spent. When you go to somebody's wedding,
if you give a goy wine, not a kosher wine.
I'm going to ask you one question.
The goy knows the difference between kosher meat and non-kosher meat. They know that, a lot of the goyim, they like to go eat at the kosher place because they know it's cleaner.
It's cleaner, so, and it's...
Yeah.
And it's
in their mind, they know it's better.
Yeah. But another thing, it's 30 cents a pound more if it's kosher than if it's non-kosher.
Why do you go shish that the goy was going to say, oh, I got this chicken from Shmuel, and he got it to another Jew?
Because the bottom line is, that what the guy is going to do is, when you make a party, he's going to reciprocate. And how is he going to reciprocate? When somebody came to your simcha, so you say, how much money did he spend on my gift? If he spent $200 on my gift, you'll reciprocate with a $200 gift. Now, the piece of meat, if it was non-kosher, is $80. And if it's kosher, it's $110. So he's going to reciprocate with a more expensive gift. And that's Geneva's das. That's what the Gemara say. You understand? You can't give something, and when you give something, he thinks it's one thing, and it turns out to
be... It's blood, it's violent,
it's blood, but the full shechita.
Good.
I just want to just add to your point. The problem, if you read the Gemara well, the problem was that he gave it to him, the cheska shchuta. If you take a look, Rashi quotes over here, if I'm not mistaken, it's Rashi, that he gave it to him, and it was under the assumption that it was kosher. Now, we're going to see soon in the Gemara that if you give him something, and he makes his own mistake, you don't have to correct him. You understand? The problem is he gave him something, cheska shchuta. When you give something, and it's sort of misleading, and the person thinks you're giving him something else, then you can't take the credit for it. But if you, on the other hand, gave it to him, and when you gave it to him, you didn't mislead him, and he decided to mislead himself. So we'll see soon. You're not machuyev to correct every person that misleads himself. But I just want to go to the second. Simon makes an excellent point. It's an important question. I always get this question. People tell me as follows. I'm going to another person's wedding. I bought a gift. I bought a beautiful piece of silver or a vase, and I got it for 50% off. And it has on it the label that says that this the original price, right? It says on the label that it cost $200.
And they left the label
on, they give the gift. It doesn't usually work, because usually the guy ends up returning it, and then he finds out that he bought it at 50% off, and then he realizes, it doesn't usually work, this cheshbon. But what happens is, so you see, you take a look at the vase, and the vase says on it, it's a $200 vase. In reality, what is it? You paid only $100, even less. So are you allowed to do that or not? So the truth is, it depends very much on this question. You definitely can't mislead the person, which means, I'll tell you one thing. A guy tells me that he went and bought a vase 50% off. So since he bought it 50% off, so he took another label for $200 and he put it on it. That you clearly can't do, because then you're misleading the other person. But if the original label, the $200 label, was there, and you just didn't remove it, so there's nothing wrong. You're allowed to do that, because then he misleads himself. Again, if the item originally cost $200, and that label is there, because that's what the seller put that label on the item, and what did you do? You went and you simply went and gave the gift. Now, you happened to buy it a season later, and you bought it for half price. So then there's nothing wrong, because you didn't do anything to mislead the other person. Let's finish the whole sugya, and then we'll be able to apply the halacha al-ma'aseh. That's a very prevalent case, and it's extreme.
That's what the guy was trying to do.
Yeah, but the problem is that you are going to end up going to collect at the end, because you know, you look at Shulchan Aruch and it's interesting because today there's a concept called the bridal registry, right? What's a bridal registry? When a person gets married, you want to know that the person should have everything. In Shulchan Aruch, if you'd like to look, this Sheshvinus. The way Sheshvinus worked was that any person that got married, in Ebenezer, in the Samach, everybody would go and chip in, because when a person got married, they couldn't afford to buy everything. So everybody in the city chipped in for something else. But it became an obligation, according to the halakha, you needed to return the favor and pay back, right? That was the halakha originally. Today, it's not as specific. But you're forgetting that all of these, you know, nice gestures result in a reciprocation. And for that, there's a gneivas das on the reciprocation. So you have to be careful. Let's do another case. Another case which the Gemara brings us as follows. The next case. Tanya hoy Ramei Oymen. Now Ramei tells us. Al yisarev odem lechaveir elisad etzla v'yadeyavai she'enoi soyit. What happens? You have a certain person. You invite him. You say, listen, why don't you come to me for a meal? Right? When did you invite him for the meal? After you know that he was invited to somebody else, right? It's one case. Or what happens? You have a person, for example, who you know has little children and they can't walk on Shabbos because the kids can't walk on Shabbat, right? So what do? So you go over and you invite him for a meal on Shabbat. Now there's no chance he's going to come because he can't come on Shabbat, right? So again, what you're doing is you're earning favor in the other person's eyes, and it's illegal because it doesn't really belong to you. So you're not allowed to do that. Don't offer him gifts when you know. Now some people don't accept gifts. So don't offer gifts when he can't accept gifts. Now, this is a very, very important case, because from this case is gonna put us on as we're gonna go through soon the end of the sugyo with Tosfot. This case is extremely important. Now here you hear key words. Here, sometimes by Ganeva's Das, you're obligated to notify the person. Okay, now here, this is extremely important, because you kept on saying, when do you have to, sometimes I'm just quiet, why do I have to notify him? Well, see, sometimes you have to notify him. What's this case? This case is as follows. What happens is that in those days, wine was stored in barrels. I mean, today too. But today we see how wine comes to us in bottles of wine. In those days, they bought their wine in barrels. What do you do when you got a barrel of wine? You opened it. A barrel of wine, for argument's sake, had 50 gallons of wine. The first gallon or two was good. What happened to the rest of it? It all got spoiled. Right? It got spoiled or was inferior. It didn't taste too good. The sediment, and it got a little bit sour, vinegary. So when did you open a barrel of wine? Either you had a big party, you needed to use 50 gallons, or you had such a monumentous occasion, such a special guest came to you, that it's worth it for you to get a few glasses of wine and ruin the rest of the wine and drink it when it's inferior. Or, when did most people open a barrel of wine? When they had a chenveni, who was a wine dealer, would come to them. The wine dealer would come. The wine dealer was constantly selling to people wine and putting it into barrels. So what happened was, he would already open, for him you would open the barrel of wine, because he would buy it, and he would distribute it into smaller bottles. You know that tomorrow the chenveni is coming to you, and the chenveni, you're going to have to, for him, open up the barrel of wine, because he's going to distribute it to 50 other people. The day before, you have a good friend of yours comes. So what do? You open up the barrel of wine for him. He feels like $1 million. Why? Because he figures, can you imagine, for the one glass of good wine that I'm going to have, he's going to kill a whole barrel of wine. What's your true intention? Your true intention is to give it to the chenveni, who's going to sell it, right? So that's what happens. What's that? It's sold. Yeah, it's sold. Yep. What do you mean?
You know it's sold already.
You know it's sold, exactly. But
you know that already.
Of course.
It's not like he'll come tomorrow and you're going to do it tomorrow.
No. Right. You know you have a buyer, exactly. Or else you wouldn't do it, because it's going to be a wasted thing of wine, the rest of it. But when you're giving it to you...
If there's a chance that he might come...
If there's a chance he might come, he wouldn't open it. Right, it's mechuros, right? It's sold already.
It's sold
already, or else you wouldn't do it. Exactly, 100%. So what do you do? So you open the barrel of wine for your friend, but you have a chiv. The Gemara tells us, lohidio, you need to notify the person that it's a sold barrel of wine. Exactly, 100%. Exactly like what you're saying. And now here we have an interesting story. Turn over the page.
This is about the fourth story that we did, and this was the only one where we said lohidio.
Yes, right? yes, 100%. Here you suddenly have to notify. What's going on, right? Okay.
So once you notify, there's nothing about that then.
Of course not. No. Yeah, the guy knows it.
That doesn't even start.
Of course not, yeah. There's nothing wrong with it at that point. You say to the guy, listen, you know, you're a great friend. I'm so happy you came at this time because tomorrow the guy's coming to pick up his barrel of wine. I have to open it anyways. So now it's an excellent time for me to do this. Now, take a look at the Amud Beis. And you'll see, now we're going to discuss...
What does it say, Ben Mishvah Kvodom, what does that mean?
What's that? Oh, we'll discuss that. If it's because the person is such a respectable person that you want to do it for him, personally, then Enechanami, take a look, where is it? Or you're trying to... Where you're reading, let's take a look. Yeah, hold on, there's one. One second, where is that? Yeah. One second. Yeah, Ben Mishvah Kvodom Mutter. What is Kvodom Mutter? Let's see, what is Rashi saying Kvodom Mutter? That you have to truthfully mean it. I'll discuss that more in the next shiur. The Rav Shulchan Aruch has a discussion that there are times when you have a person comes to you and you give him a certain amount of kavod, but you truthfully would give him this amount of kavod. You really want to be mechabed him, but it's a little bit detailed. I'll discuss that in the next year. I might even have over here a copy of it, but I'll get to that a little bit later. But for a regular person who you don't mean on that level or doesn't deserve that level of kavod, you definitely can't do it. But I want to get to this point that you mentioned. When do you have to notify him and when don't you have to notify him? So take a look. Turn over the page to Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis, and the Gemara says the following story. Omer Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, towards the bottom of the page. Nafal Bissel of Nechela, Velema Nafal Tvifsel of Nechela, Loizavni. Okay, so the Gemara brings the following story. When they gave a piece of meat to a goy, so they would say, Nafal Bissra, meat fell, Lubnechela to the goy. So the Gemara says that it's an issue that when you give the meat, because what happened was it was a tray for a piece of meat, and they sold it to the goy, but then they had a problem that maybe the goy would sell it to a yid, right? That was always their issue. So the Gemara asks, "When name the novel Trifsel of Mechela, why don't they announce that we gave trefa to the goy?" So the Gemara says, "Loizovni, the goy would never buy it." So the Gemara says, "You see, so it's interesting. You're right. The goyim wanted to buy kosher meat specifically. They didn't want to have anything that was not good enough for you. They didn't want to have it for them." So the Gemara asks, "V'hokamata lahu?" Now the Gemara has a question, but you're fooling him, right? "V'hokamata lahu?" You're fooling him. So the Gemara says, "No, ini hu the kamata nafshayim." The guy is fooling himself. He came to buy a piece of meat. He saw a nice piece of meat by you. He bought it. He thinks it's kosher. Let him think it's kosher. There's nothing wrong. You didn't mislead him. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Now, here comes a story. This story is very, very important. Kihar, like the famous story, the Mazutra Bereder of Nachman. And now, after this, we can go back and discuss that story. And we went to the back of the Bismedrish to get the Rashba, right? And you meet the person, and he says, "Thank you for coming to greet me." Kihal, like the story, the Mazutra Breder of Nachman, Mazutra the son of Rav Nachman, Havaka Ozel, Misichr Levei Mechuzah. Okay, Rav Mazutra was returning from a lengthy trip. He was going on a trip. V'rova V'rev Safra, Havaka Osi, Lesichr. Right, each one was going on a trip, but each one was going on a trip in a different direction. So Mazutra was going in one direction, Rava Rav Safra were heading in the other direction. When they arrived at Sichra, so they met each other. So what did Mazutra think? He says, "Wow, that's so nice. I came into the city, and you guys came to the outskirts of the city to greet me, right? You put big signs up, right? Sadik Bola here, and I have such tremendous appreciation that you guys came to see me." He said, "Why did you guys have to go so out of your way? Come all the way out here to greet me. Why do you have to do that for? Right, no? So what do? So you insult him and tell him the truth? So what do you do now, huh?" So what does he say? So what does Rav Safra say? Right? Now by the way, before we go any further, what does the Gemara tell us about Rav Safra? V'doiva emes b'vovoi, right? It's Rav Safra who always was straight, always said the truth. Amalei Rav Safra, anan lay havi yadina dikonosima. We had no idea you were coming, right? First his bubble, he killed the excitement, right? How could he do something of that sort? But then he added on. You have a yodinim, but if I did know you were coming, tvei habatachin, I would go even further. I wouldn't just come this far. I would go even further to greet you. Amalei Rava, so Rava says, my tam omet lehavi. So Rava says, why do you say that? Right? Achlishta
l'tatayim. Why, you say the first one or the second one?
The first one. You didn't have to tell him. He saw you coming, and he meets you, and he sees you there, and he says, it's so nice he came out to greet me. And you say, you nod your head. Why do you have to burst his bubble and hurt him and disappoint him that he shouldn't think you came to greet him personally? That's what he says.
So does Rebbe hold that you can do Kiryat
when the other person fools himself? When you fool you want to fool yourself, right? That's what Rava's going to say over here. Amalei, he says, Amalei, so Rav Safra said back to him, what do you mean? I can't fool him. I'm fooling him. So he says, no. Ihi dekamata nafshayim. He went and he fooled himself. So the Gemara suddenly says as follows. When the person fools himself, you want to fool yourself? Fool yourself. I don't have to correct you. You think I came to the end of this marriage to say hello to you? I don't have to correct you. But when you did not fool yourself, but rather, what did you do? What did you do? I fooled you, right? I go and I say something, like the case in the beginning of the Gemara, where the person went and he gave the chicken b'cheska shchuta, right? The person thought it was like a shaft and a chicken. Then you have no right to do so. Okay, that's what the Gemara says. Now, there's one very, very serious question, there's a stira and the sugya, and the three ways the Rishonim learn, they're pretty similar, but the Tosfos has the way which is accepted by the Mechaba in Shulchan Aruch, so that's the reason why I'm going to work with Tosfos. The Mechaba and the Rama both agree on this topic, so I'm going to go with the opinion of Tosfos. Tosfos asks that we learn tonight another case, and the other case we learned clearly, that there is one situation where even if you went and made a mistake, I have an obligation to correct you, right? What was that case? We learned exactly the barrel of wine. Exactly. So that's Tosfos' question. We just learned in the Gemara. The summary of the sugya is that when you fool yourself, I'm not obligated to correct you. But we learned in the beginning of the sugya that when you fool yourself, right? What happened? I opened the barrel of wine. You fool yourself. So I have tzorach lohidia, the Gemara said. You're obligated to notify the person that you made a mistake.
Maybe he's mitzvah David al-Liguye.
What's that?
Maybe he's mitzvah David al-Liguye.
Try my luck. No. I'm not going to definitely mess it up now because maybe tomorrow you're going to find out.
Huh?
What's that?
Then it looks very bad.
I mean, be like I know the next day when he finds out. Like we learned, somebody of Rishonim said that I know is devor, that I know is that after the person finds out, so then he's mitzvah. No, it's a good mahal. It's a good mahal. Let's see how Tosfos deals with this question. So take a look at Tosfos. Ini dekamato anafshaya. All right. Pesh bekintus behodi toni lael mepnei shemateil b'moicha loy b'chetz keshchita. Right. Can you say chovas amchus lachemani? Let's go towards the end of Tosfos. Look at the end of Tosfos, and the end of Tosfos is the way the Mechaba in Simon Reish Chav Ches in Shulchan Aruch Sivov, actually that's the psak of the Mechaba. So let's see what he says. Lekach nira, the hasam b'stam v'osam mishim de'ein lo'orech la'asuke adaitei. Okay, so now let's figure out the bottom line here. When you have a situation, which we said in the beginning, that you fool the person, like it's becheskes shchuta, so that's no issue. You can, if you outright go and fool the person, so of course it's gnevus das. But how about if you say nothing, and the other person fools himself? So Tosfos makes an extremely important distinction, and that is as follows. In a situation where the situation is misleading, the situation on its own fools you, which means nobody in his right mind goes and opens up a barrel of wine, only if it's sold already to the chenvedi, right? Because why would you do something of that sort? It's such a waste of money. And the person comes and the person sees you have the most expensive item suddenly sitting on the table for him, for you. So this situation is by itself a misleading situation. In that situation, you're mechuyev to be my dear person.
The way you just presented it,
what's that?
The way you just presented it was no one opens up a barrel unless it's done to a company.
Right.
So can you assume that the guest is going to assume that?
He's going to assume. He definitely will.
Yeah.
What's that?
So what, then why you
no, except if you have such a prestigious guest, if somebody who's very prestigious comes to your house, so then you do it. If a person is a high-class guest, and you say, okay, for this person, listen, you'll spend $100 on a bottle of wine for this person. So what's the difference? You'll open a bottle of wine.
Well, I think the pshat is that he says, la'asukedate, meaning he wouldn't think. It's an uncommon thing for you to sell it to Hanvani, to pre-sell it to Hanvani. I wouldn't think that that you're selling.
Either way, I don't have a problem with it. But the bottom line is,
you're saying that you'll never open it unless you sell it to him.
No, the bottom line, what the Tosfos is trying to say is as follows:
you'll never think that this guy is doing it. The only reason he's doing it is for my kavod.
Why would you say so?
That's the only reason that he's doing it is for my kavod. But over here, he should have thought that it could be that they're just walking here this way.
That's Taisa says there are situations that the situations on their own are misleading. Right.
He would never think in his wildest dream.
Correct.
The opposite.
What would you think?
I would think an oreach that comes and he sees that the guy has a new barrel of wine open, but the guy sold it because he's not opening up a barrel of wine for me.
No, but again, the point is as follows. I hear what you're saying, but the bottom line is, you do see that barrel of wine there. And you're a prestigious person, so maybe the person is machshav you to that level where the person did this for you.
I think they want to show that both in the case of Rav Safra, that when they met him at the city edge, once they started the dibur of why, you came out to greet me, not where we went further. Mm-hmm. So that alone was enough that he had to explain himself.
But first he said, I didn't come to you. Afterwards he was matarez. Why did he say anything? Why didn't he just nod his head? That's the question. Why did he nod his head?
He had in his mind, Marco Sutra had in his mind that look, he was going to start already. So you see, it was clear that that's what he thought. So now it's up to Rav Safra to get him out of that thought.
Yeah, but why? Every time a person has a certain thought, where a person feels that I did something for him and I really didn't do it for him, so let me leave him with that thought. Why should I go and correct him? That's what Tosfot is saying. If the person fools himself, and it's not these two rules you have to take out of the sugya, that's how Mechaba Paschal and Shulchan Aruch.
No, but the way you're setting up is not. If you have a way to go, you can go either this way or this way, and you choose to go this way, I don't have to correct you.
Assuming. That the mistake is your mistake.
You see a guy walking.
Right.
You can assume he's walking for his own. You can assume he's walking to the bookcase.
Right.
And you choose to assume that he's walking to greet you.
Right.
So that's your problem.
Exactly.
Because you have an equal. You have as a thinking person. You should think in your mind. Maybe this guy is really not coming to greet me.
Right.
So you made that mistake by yourself.
Right.
And that's the story of Rava. That's
the story of
Rav Safra and Rava. You should have been quiet.
He should have remained quiet. Right. That's the Gemara concludes.
But in the case of the guest,
yeah.
In the case of the guest, the dean is he would never ever that guest would never ever think that you sold that this thing was sold.
Correct.
Already.
So what's the only thing he thinks?
That's
for him. Exactly.
No, but you said that the reason is. Because nobody will open it unless he sold it. No. I would open it just for you.
Of course. If you're an other kosher.
I would never even think in my wildest dream
that
this was already pre-sold, this barrel. I would never
I understand. You're saying that the reason why you have obligated to tell him is because he for sure thinks it's for him. Correct. Correct, I agree with you. Yeah, 100%. Because he for sure thinks that it came just for him.
Right, but these cases...
Right.
In practicality, most cases are like the other case, not like the case of the barrel of wine.
Most cases, any action
that you do can be translated this way or that way. To be 99%, the Lashon of Tosfot here, right? He can't even.
Yeah, so you're right. So most cases with a person. Fools himself, you can let him fool himself, no problem. Except, one second, except when you sort of mislead him, because you saw that when he gave him the chicken, so Shmuel got, it was ikpet, Shmuel got upset, right? There are times where you sort of get the person going in the wrong direction.
I'm not sure exactly in that story over there also, like,
If he just gave it to him and he didn't say anything,
so why was
he expecting?
Look at Rashi.
I guess he's
say?
Expecting
Rashi
a payment. He's expecting a payment of value mm-hmm. Maybe. I mean, you're saying that he's just giving him as a tip. I don't know if he's just giving him as a tip, and just he's thinking he's giving me a nice tip, and now. He's thinking, maybe
that's Gnevis Das, by the way. That is Gnevis Das. When you give a person a certain gift that he owes you because of that, a certain gift, that is Gnevis Das. Doesn't matter, by the way, if it's a gift, that's all the poskim say. Doesn't matter if it's a gift or if it's actually owed. Gnevis Das is irrelevant, because when you get a certain amount of Toivas Hanoah, Hakaras HaToiv, I mean, that's really no difference.
Then the case that you said before about the $200 vase.
Yeah, let's go back to the vase. Let's talk about the vase, right?
So, I think I understood that maybe you could leave the $200 price on there.
Right.
But
let's say you leave the price there, right? So what would you say?
Yeah, this is good. Leave it.
You're misleading yourself.
You could have thought that
you
could have
thought that things to say.
I left the $200 price on. You're misleading yourself. I'm purposely misleading you.
Again, you're not purposely misleading him. I went and I bought a vase.
$100.
That may be a different problem, because it's more than misleading. The price is on the vase. It's not like the guy is under assumption that it may be owed more, it may be less. Over here, it's clearly stating that it's $200.
Let me say it differently. If you went and you took off the second label that says clearance, and you only left one label, then you're misleading the person. But you have a vase. It's, you know, it's ticketed with all kind of different stamps. It says on it $200. It also says we're trying to get rid of this vase and come deal with us, and we'll give you a good price. So I'm not misleading you.
But why am I leaving the price on? I'm actually leaving the price on to get that Tovan Hana'ah of $200, $900. Why am I leaving the price on?
Firstly, it's an interesting discussion, because it becomes Sheva al Taisa, which we should discuss, by the way. I'll discuss in a later share. But besides that point, if I'm actually misleading you, that I'm not allowed to do it. If it's something which you can't imagine what happened differently, that you also can't do. But over here, you know, people
price tags on $200. I can't.
And you don't know if people buy things on sale.
I'm not going to think that.
But it depends on the person giving the gift also.
That could very well be.
Sometimes they re-gift.
That could very well be.
Right?
What's that?
Sometimes they re-gift.
Depends on who's giving the gift. And the Hanami. 100%.
They pass it along.
What's that?
They get a Mishloach Manor and they pass it on to the next guy.
Yes, and then it comes back.
The re-gifter.
And then it comes back to you and you taste it and you say mine was better, right? It's yours that you originally said.
But
he's saying a certain point. The point he's trying to say is that there are certain people you would never expect that they would give you an item that's reduced, and the price is reduced, and they really gave the full amount. That's what he's saying. Listen, I'll tell you one of the most fascinating
things. This thing here is like this spot here is opening the door wide open.
Sure. The Mechaba Paschim is like this spot.
It's wide open.
Yeah.
Until now, we thought, wow, the Metadat is...
No, but if you mislead the other person, you can't do it.
No, you're not doing anything. You'll let him assume.
Sheva al Tassel. I'll show you a Tassel that says it in Sheva al Taisa, except in those situations.
Isn't it Sheva al Tassel?
We'll see. There's a Tassel that even says that Sheva al Taisa by a Goy is Mutta even stronger. So we'll get to that. Wait, one thing at a time. Now, one of the most fascinating questions that I've seen that the Chuvot deal with. It's a very famous question. What happens? You want to raise funds for an appeal. So you want to raise funds in the Beit Midrash for an appeal. So what do you do? You have one guy. So one guy says as follows: I'm going to be the first one to announce at the appeal. He's the head of the appeal committee, right? That's what his title is. So what does he do? He gets up there. And he makes an announcement that he's going to give $2,000. He figures if he gives $2,000, next I'll give $1,000. Problem is, this is a recession. What does he plan to really give? $500. But if he doesn't say $2,000.
If the town don't worry about it, you know.
Yeah, 100%. Don't worry about it. Is a person allowed to do that or not? It's a very, very important question. What's that? It's so simple. I have a tshuva here, which I'll give out. It's worthwhile to read. Which I was shocked when I read the tshuva. It's a tshuva from Rav Vozner, Sheva Talevi, where he addresses that question and a similar question. The similar question he addresses is that there are people who they need to collect funds, but the tzedakah that they're collecting for is not too popular. But if they come and they say for a different organization that's extremely popular, so the Gabbai Tzedakah will come. He'll say he's collecting for a different organization, and once he says he's collecting for a different organization, so automatically everybody will give him large sums of money, and then once he has the money, he'll go and give the money to. The Rosen's story was as follows. He says there was a certain Talmid Chacham, fell on very hard times, but he was a yochid, private person. It was not very popular to give money to him, right? So what happened? So what happened was he had a Gabbai Tzedakah go around and collect Achnosis Kala. Achnosis Kala, everybody wants to give money for Achnosis Kala. So they gave money to Achnosis Kala, and then the Gabbai Tzedakah would go and siphon off the money and give it to the Talmid Chacham.
You're allowed to that. Yeah? He said you're allowed to that.
He was diverting Tzedakah money, huh?
And that was all.
Rav Hosen has a tshuva, which I want you all to read the tshuva later. He discusses, he has a lengthy tshuva about the topic of diverting Mishanin Ma'ot Tzedakah, which is the whole sugya Nedorim. It's a very interesting sugya. And at certain times you're allowed to, tzarich mitzvah, certain times you're not allowed to. And he concludes that regarding Mishanin Ma'ot Tzedakah, there's no problem. That's how he concludes. Then at the end of the tshuva, he says, but whoa, one second, he says, this Geneva Das, he says, because you're fooling the people, because the people assume they're giving the money for one tzedakah and it's going for another tzedakah. That's what he says at the end of the tshuva. And then he says, but it's tzarich mitzvah and a talmid chacham, and he sort of ends off. He doesn't want to conclude because of this. I'll show you the tshuva. It's a tshuva of Rav Hosen. It's a fascinating tshuva. What's that? In a way, it's matan b'seisa. Why is it matan b'seisa?
The whole reason why they're doing hakhnasat kala is because if they went to Reuven, he wouldn't have given.
Yeah.
Right? That's a big difference. Not that I'm switching one tzedakah to another.
Yeah,
this tzedakah has
a big difference. Sure. Yeah, okay, but it's worthwhile to read this tshuva. I'm not even have time. He says, you see, it's interesting. I'll just show you the first. I'm just quoting it. Some of the copies are not good. You have to do copies only. See? But that one's not good. Yeah. A few of them. No, this is good. I'm sorry. I apologize. This is fine. It's two pages, right? Kufyutes. Okay. 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 He says he's a Gabbai Tzedakah, Sha'os Tzedakah, Sha'os Tzedakah, Godel, Shehu B'Metzikah Gedoyel. Talmid Chacham is a very difficult situation. V'shol, in Mutar Lo Loima, is he allowed to go and say, Sha'osef Avoy Hachnosas Kala? Did she come with Yosef? So she got bigger donations. That was the question. Right? And he says, the Kvodim of Gabbai Tzedakah, Posh, Sha'ain, he says, no, you're not allowed to. You're not allowed to change from one Tzedakah. In the Dig Yireh, when he's writing the Mutar Lo Shans, he says, you're allowed to change, he writes. Rak adov esovik miyod yimuta lahatis as chaveri. I have a different issue because it's what? The question is, you're fooling him. Loim b'shegoy b'achnas as kala. But if you did it already, then he says, okay, now he goes through the first part of the tshuva that addresses directly the question of mashamim boi tzedakah l'moi tzedakah. That's the first part of the question, which is not really our topic. But take a look at the second page, all right? The second page, on page Kuf Mem Hei, the third paragraph on the right side, he says as follows: Hal belava yesh l'tzadei, the Talmud Chacham oni shehu b'metzikah gedolah. Right, the Talmud Chacham is in very dire straits. He mitzvah b'shaita, it's a mitzvah in its time. The yesh b'zeh kovet haTorah, the gam lahachis oni. He says a terrible situation. So he says, omnam ma the tzorach la'ayin. He says, forget about the question of mishanin ma'ot zlaka. He says, it's a different question here. Ma the tzorach la'ayin im muta lignoiv das habriyos. Are you allowed to go and steal the das habriyos? You're fooling people. Like we just learned, or that's what I quoted to you for. Three times you're allowed to lie. If it's in the old days when they used to force you the amount of tzedakah you should give, and it was the only way to get it was in this way, then maybe it was okay. The bottom line is that he's fine with hilchot tzedakah, it's fine. But when it comes to Gneivas Das, he has a problem with it. And that's why he says at the end that he can't do it. No, so
I mean,
so the shenema, or let's say people put money in the kupa, right. They think it's going to the shul, you can go give it to an ani who comes here.
It's a complicated topic. It would be a whole shiur on its own to answer those questions.
No, but
when
that's
you
a
put,
separate
today,
question.
It's a separate question.
I'm going to kill him on telling you I'm giving it to here and a line that he's going to give to someone else.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Geneva's Das. That's what I want to discuss. Specifically, Geneva's Das, which is an interesting discussion. But you see, he at the end has a problem, and he's sort of, you know, willing to say at the end that it's that if it's for mitzvah, maybe it's okay. But he's very skeptical to say, bottom line, that it is actually acceptable. Which was, I'll just touch one more issue because it's getting late. There are certain people that are members of certain clubs, right? There are certain, you know, programs. You become a member of a club, and becoming a member of the club gives you certain privileges and benefits. So one of the questions is, if you are one of the people that controls that club, do you have a right to give away to some of your friends those benefits for free? Is it Geneva's Das because when you allow your friend to use those benefits
Costco,
for free,
Costco,
what's that?
Costco,
right?
You give the car.
Yeah, I don't see the head to give away your car. I mean, they have a picture, they're makpid, that it should be just you. People do it. I mean, right? That should be right. No. It makes a very good point. That should be a name. When you have a club and you have a right to be a member of that. But I'm saying differently. I'm saying, let's say you're the one who owns Costco. You're a manager at Costco, right? And usually, in order to get into Costco, you have to pay $55 a year. What you do is you say to your friends, I give you cards for free. I print up the cards. I can get you a card for free. In a way, the question that the poskim deal with is that Geneva's Das because you're stealing from the people? You're making some people pay $55 for a membership because you have a privilege, you get so-and-so. And in the meantime, it's not true. For your friends, you're giving it for free. The truth is that when it comes to a corporation, it seems like the corporation reserves certain rights that they're allowed to give for free. Okay, we'll deal with it. There are many more shalas to deal with, you know, when it comes, when the, like, for example, the yeshivas make lotteries and there's extra tickets they add, there's less tickets, they give away tickets for free. Okay, these whole shiurim. Bezat Hashem, we'll conclude this topic next week.
In
that
they give for free, inside members, they give
for free. Yeah, inside you give for free, and other people are paying for it, so really, in a way,